I was in here from morning, and I'll die in here. Seven.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Marine Corps, among other important people, broadcast with your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. I hope everybody's having a great weekend so far. Those of you that are getting hit with snowstorms, stay safe, stay warm. If you haven't done so already, come check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Now, before you click on that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defender 7. We have a website. Type in all lowercase letters, www.defenders2i.com. On our website, you will find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all proceeds from sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something or click that donate. Help us to help you and your community throughout all 50 states. We also have a YouTube channel. Hop over there and do us a favor and click that subscribe button. We're on MeWe. Click on Communities, scroll down, Defender 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Now for tonight and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you call in with your own opinions or even just to say hi. And that number is area code 914-205-5773. Again, number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. If you're a little leery on calling in, we also have a chat room during our live broadcasts right here on Blog Talk. So either way, come join us. I'm now going to bring in your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis, and also our Colonel of the East Coast.
Hey, everybody.
Evening, everybody. How y'all doing?
Good, Bobby. How are you?
Still fighting this head cold, man.
Yeah, me too, man.
What's that?
You got
no Rona. I tested negative.
No, I got the Omicron. Omicron. Or maybe
you
it
do?
Is flu Rona. I don't know. They ain't testing me. They're gonna put that carcinogen in my nose.
They're all the same. It's a freaking cold. That's all
it is. It is. I've been doing my bourbon shots during the day and doing my night glow at nighttime.
There you go.
So
along
we're,
with hot
we're doing
cogs.
The Marines tonight. We're doing the
so I have my
tonight,
Bacardi and Coke.
We're halfway through. So if you want to count Space Force, whatever. But I thought before we get started, some of the military jokes and dark humor. Most of this stuff is really freaking funny. One of the jokes is really, really, really seriously dark, but this came from another Marine. But I'll read that one last because it's seriously dark.
Hey, Kim.
Yeah.
Before you get into that, I wanted to let you know the January 22nd show. I'm gonna split it up. I have a interview. I have an interview to do that day with a DJ from New York.
Okay.
For an hour. And then we'll do Saturday night's broadcast for an hour.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, some of my patients want to listen. Want to start calling in. They want to call the medical one because he likes to learn everything he can. And he knows I can't sit there and tell him every single, you know what I'm saying, in a 20-minute visit. I got to take care of his shit. But he loves to learn everything about anything, you know. So everybody knows if you're in the military, that gives you all rights to pick on each friend because you're in the military. And everybody, so what I'm going to do is, each branch, and these are some things how each branch would do it. So, joking within the military branch is a service is as old as this country. Each branch of service, as well as the different MOSs, we have jokes about them also. So, the reason the Air Force, Army, Navy, and the Marines bicker, because we don't speak the same language. So, take the phrase, secure the building, right? The Army will post guards around the building. The Navy will turn out the lights and lock the doors. The Marines will kill everybody inside and set up headquarters. And the Air Force will take out a 5-year lease with an option to buy. Okay, don't laugh all at once, guys. Some of these are probably dad jokes. How the military uses the word suck. Army infantry, Army grunt stands in the rain with a pack on his back, weapon in hand, and having marched 15 miles at six stop. Army ranger, airborne ranger stands waist deep in the rain with a pack on his back, weapon in hand, after having jumped from an airplane and marched 30 miles and says with a smile, this sucks just fine. Army Special Forces lies in the mud, pack on his back, weapon in hand, and after swimming to shore, crawling through a swamp and marching at night past three enemy positions, says with a grin while biting on the head of a snake, this really sucks. I wish it could suck more. Air Force pilot flying over the battlefield, the rain is pouring down, looks down the soldiers below his head. Sure sucks down there. The Navy, I did not say these jokes, okay? A naval officer sips his coffee, eats a donut on the bridge of the ship as it rains outside and looks to the shore and says, sure does suck over there.
Red light was good.
Air Force officer. Hey, listen. I didn't write these jokes. I've never heard of some of these jokes anyway.
I'm just kidding.
To an Air Force officer, an Air Force officer sits in an easy chair in his air-conditioned, carpeted barbecue room, expensive with friends. Man, tables out. This sucks. So, this is some rules. And this starts with the Marines. Be courteous to everyone, friendly to no one. Decide to be aggressive enough, quickly enough. Have a plan. Have a backup plan, because the first one probably won't work. Be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everyone you meet. Do not attend a gunfight with a handgun whose caliber does not start with a 4. Anything worth shooting is worth shooting twice. Ammo is cheap. Life is expensive. Move away from your attacker. Distance is your friend. Use cover or concealment as much as possible. Flank your adversary when possible. Protect yours. Always cheat. Always win. The only unfair fight is the one you lose. In 10 years, nobody will remember the details of the caliber, stance, or tactics. They will only remember who lives. If you are not shooting, you should be communicating your intention to shoot. There are only some assholes in the world. It just needs to be shot. Be polite, professional, but have a plan to kill everyone you meet. Engage your brain before you engage your weapon. And those last three were from General Mattis. Here's Navy SEAL rules. I'm sorry, Bobby. Look cool in sunglasses. Kill every living thing within view. Adjust your speedo. Check hair and mirror. Wow, those are...
Yeah.
And this is from Admiral Bill McCraven. Start your day with a... He actually gave this speech, which is a pretty cool speech. He did it for the graduation. Start your day with a task completed. You cannot go it alone. Only the size of your heart matters. Life is not fair. Drive on. Failure can make you stronger. You must dare greatly, stand up to bullies, rise to the occasion, give people hope, and never, ever quit. You know, it's a pretty cool rule. But he did that one about making their bed when you first get up in the morning. And no matter how bad your day goes, you would have accomplished at least one thing, that's making your bed. Army Ranger rule, walk within 50 miles, wearing a 75-pound rucksack while starving. Locate individuals requiring killing. Request permission via radio from higher to perform killing. Curse bitterly when mission is aborted. Walk out 50 miles wearing a 75-pound rucksack while starving. Army rules. So now this one, I'm telling you, see, select a new beret to wear. So patches on right shoulder. Change the color of the beret you decided to wear. Special Forces, always look cool. Always know where you are. And if you don't know where you are, look cool. And the Air Force. Have a cocktail. Adjust temperature on air conditioner. See what's on HBO. Ask, what does it look like? Request more funding from Congress with a killer PowerPoint presentation. Wine and dine key congressmen. Invite DOD and defense industry executives. Receive funding, set up a new command, and assemble assets. And hurry to make 1345 tea time. And the Navy, go to sea, drink coffee, deploy Marines. Sorry, guys. Those are funny-ish. And so I found Navy. Now, you guys know, like with the acronym for each branch, like for the Army, they always say, you know, ain't really Marines yet. If you look at it backwards, it says, yes, my retarded ass signed up. And for the Marines, muscles are expected. I mean, muscles are required, intelligence are expected. I have never, ever in my life heard this one about, and the Navy is never again volunteer yourself. In the Air Force, ain't it really fucking obvious? Retards command everything.
Good one.
I've never heard that one before. Hold on a second. And then you know how we call, like, we're the Army's ground pounders, Marines are crayon eaters, and I've never heard of them being called ASVAB waivers. But I'm going to skip the Navy because those are quite ugly. I've never heard some of those, and we shall skip those. But they also call the Marines crayon-eating bullet plungers. But, yeah. And then I did not know this. Some famous Marines. I did not know some of these. Drew Carey was in the Marines. And it takes forever for each picture to come up. What the hell is his name? Adam Driver. He joined after September 11th. You know who he? I don't know if you guys know who he is. Have you seen any of the Star Wars movies? The new ones? He played Kylo Ren.
He plays a lot.
Yeah, I did not know he was a Marine. But he joined after September 11th. That's why he joined. And I think that's the reason why, isn't that the reason why, Chris Kyle joined. Or did he join before that? Don Imus, he was in the Marines from 57 to 60. Steve Wilkos, you know, he used to be, what's his face, Jerry Springer. Gene Hackman was in the Marines. I thought he was in the Navy, actually. Yeah, Robert, and my fingers decided to shift this, so but I didn't get on with it. You guys still there, or did I get cut off?
No, we're just ignoring you.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. I can't go over who else was famous Marines, but oh well. My website, it said it was not safe, so oh well. The history
what about
of the United States, I don't know. Like I said, I can't go through them all.
Kim is outnumbered here.
Yes, she is.
Care.
She keeps on digging herself deeper and deeper, John.
You were not a Marine.
Yes, sir.
So shut up, smartass.
It doesn't matter. Two Navy against
the Marines
one,
are Department of the
worm.
Navy. Department
oh,
of the
whatever.
Navy.
I don't care.
Look at the paycheck.
I don't care.
The
history of the Marines begins with founding of the Continental Marines on November 10th, 1775, and it was to conduct ship-to-ship fighting, provide shipboard security and discipline enforcement, and to assist in landing forces. And its mission evolved with changing military doctrine and foreign policy of the United States. Owing to the availability of Marine forces at sea, the U.S. Marine Corps has served in nearly every conflict in the United States. It attained prominence when its theory and practice of the amphibious warfare proved precedent and ultimately formed a cornerstone of U.S. strategy in the Pacific Theater of World War II. And by the 20th century, the Marine Corps would become one of the dominant theorists and practitioners of amphibious warfare. Its ability to rapidly respond on short notice to extraditionary crises, has made and continues to make an important tool for the U.S. foreign policy. In February 1776, the Continental Marines embarked on their maiden expedition, and the Continental Marines were disbanded at the end of the war, along with the Navy, in preparation for the quasi-war with France. Congress created the U.S. Navy and the Marine Corps, and the Marines' most famous action of this period occurred during the First Barbary War in 1801 to 1805 against the Barbary pirates. In the Mexican-American War, the Marines made their famed assault on at the palace, which overlooked Mexico City. Their first major expeditionary venture in the 1850s, the Marines with sea service in Panama and Asia. During the U.S. Civil War, the Marine Corps played a minor role after their participation in the Union defeat at the first battle at Bull Run / Manassas. Their most important task was blockade duty and other shipboard battles, but they were mobilized for a handful of operations as the war progressed, and the remainder of the 19th century would be a period of declining strength and introspection about the mission of the Marine Corps. Under Commandant Jacob Zeilin's term, many Marine customs and traditions took shape. During the Spanish-American War, Marines would lead U.S. forces ashore in the Philippines, Cuba, and Puerto Rico, demonstrating their readiness for deployment. Between 1900 and 1916, the Marine Corps continued its record of participation in foreign expeditions, especially in the Caribbean and the Central and South America, which included Panama, Cuba, Veracruz, Haiti, Santo Domingo, and in Nicaragua. In World War I, battle-tested veteran Marines served a central role in the U.S. and the United States entry into the conflict. Between the World Wars, the Marine Corps was headed by Major General John A. Lejeune. And I take it back to Camp Lejeune, same doctor? Bobby? Camp Lejeune. Was it named after Major General John A. Lejeune?
Ooh. I don't know. It sounds like it.
That's what I'm saying. If you figured it would probably be named after him. In World War II, the Marines played a central role under Admiral Nimitz, and I think that's where the Nimitz came from. The Nimitz class, I can move over that when we did the Navy last week. In the Pacific War, participating in nearly every significant battle, the Corps also saw a steep growth as it expanded from two brigades to two corps within six divisions and five air wings with 132 squadrons. Okay. I thought there was only one corps, the Marine Corps. Or are they referring to that's like how the Army does their divisions. Okay. Answer my own question. During the Battle of Iwo Jima, photographer Joe Rosenthal took the famous photo rising the flag on Iwo Jima of five Marines and one naval corpsman raising the U.S. flag on Mount Suribachi. The Korean War saw the 1st Provisional Marine Brigade hold the line at the Battle of Pusan Perimeter, where Marine helicopters made their combat debut. The Marines also played an important role in Vietnam at Da Nang and Quezon, and I can't pronounce it, was it Hue, H-U-E? The Marines operated in the northern core regions of South Vietnam and fought both a constant guerrilla war against the Viet Cong and off and on conventional war against the North Vietnamese Army regulars. Marines went to Beirut during the 1892 Lebanon War. The Marines' barracks in Beirut was bombed, causing the highest peacetime losses in the Corps in its history. Marines were also responsible for liberating Kuwait in the Gulf War. And as the Army made an attack to the west directed into Iraq, the Marine Expeditionary Force had a strength of 92,000, making Operation Desert Storm the largest Marine Corps operation in history. I did not know the Marines had that many guys over there in Iraq at one time. The veterans thought it was just small units that went over there. Perhaps the earliest lineal predecessor of the modern Marine Corps was the creation and evolution of Marines, dating back to the European Naval Wars during the Second Hundred Years' War of the 17th and 18th centuries, particularly the Second Anglo-Dutch War. The European wars all contended with each other in naval power. James II, James II of England, the brother of King Charles II, was confirmed as Lord High Admiral, an office that had authoritative command over the English Royal Navy, and the position at this time was exercised by a single person, usually an admiral, to oversee the structure and institution of naval affairs. As France and the Netherlands were opting to train seamen for infantry combat, England instead, in 1660, special regiment, the Duke of York and Albany's Maritime Regiment of Foot, also known as the High Lord Admiral's Regiment. This Maritime Infantry Regiment was directed to be under the complete control of the Admiralty. The Lord High Admiral's Regiment saw action in the Franco-Dutch War and the Third Anglo-Dutch War. However, due to Glorious Revolution of 1688, King James II was deposed by the English Parliament, leading to the disbandment of the regiment. 2 years later, two new regiments were formed, the 1st and 2nd Regiment of Marines, and their functions assumed the same roles as the subsequent Marine regiments in the past. However, the ensuing wars of the Second Hundred Years' War, like the Royal Navy, the Marine Regiment was quickly dissolved only to be reassembled during the events of war. The general military service type of Marine first appeared throughout the Dutch and French Wars. Like the majority of Marine Infantry Regiments were perpetually drawn from the British Army. What the hell does that do with the American Marines? I don't even know why they have the son of the Marines. The 14th Continental Regiment, also known as the Marblehead Regiment, to help muster in the ranks. And this unique regiment subsequently folded into Washington's army in January of 1776. The Marblehead Regiment was entirely composed of New England mariners, providing little difficulty in administering crews for Washington's Navy. His decision to create his fleet came without difficulty in recruiting new rebel naval forces, either for the siege of Boston during the war along the entire coastline of New England and into the strategic Lake Champlain era on the New York border. The Royal Navy concentrated its vessels in the New England open waters, while its smaller warships raided the coastal towns and destroyed rebel military stores for supplies. In accordance with the Proclamation of Rebellion that was chartered by King George, in response, several small vessels were commissioned by the government of Massachusetts and Connecticut for the summer of 1775, authorizing the privateering against British government ships. In August of 1775, Washington's naval fleet continued the interdiction of Massachusetts Bay, being a huge success. By the end of the year, he was in command of four warships, the USS Franklin, Hancock, the Lee, and the Warren. Meanwhile, New England militia forces of Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Vermont, which they used to call the Green Mountain Boys, under the command of Benedict Arnold, seized the strategic post of Fort Ticonderoga and temporarily eliminated British control of Lake Champlain using a small flotilla of shallow draft vessels armed with light artillery. So as early as May of 1775, the sloop Enterprise ushered 18 men, presumably the Massachusetts militiamen, as Marines on the payroll. Later in May, the Connecticut Committee of Public Safety consigned 500 pounds to Arnold. The shipment of payment was escorted with eight Marines, well-spirited and equipped, although they were actually seamen. They were often referred to as the original eight. So George Washington decided to attempt the invasion of Canada by the American Continental Army to wrest Quebec and the St. Lawrence River from the British. A force led by Brigadier General Richard Montgomery headed north from Fort Ticonderoga along Lake Champlain and ended up the St. Lawrence River Valley. So meanwhile, Benedict Arnold persuaded Washington to have him lead his own separate expedition to the Marine wilderness. By August of 1775, the Rhode Island Assembly, along with other colonial committees of safety, requested the Second Continental Congress for naval assistance from the Royal Navy raiders, but it was appealed. Although Congress was aware of Britain's naval strength and its own financial limitations, it addressed itself reluctantly to the problem of creating a formidable continental navy, and they were hesitant to the request. Owens positioning that they were only able to form a naval force from Washington's and Arnold's fleet. So the colonies were left to fend for themselves as a result. But Rhode Island had established their own state navy. The colonial marines of Washington's naval fleet, Benedict Arnold's Lake Champlain flotilla and privateers made no distinction of their duties as their activities were no different from English customs. Marines were basically soldiers detailed for naval service whose primary duties were to fight aboard but not sail the ship. Washington's Navy expeditions throughout the remaining months of 1775 suggested that his ship crews of mariner militiamen were not divided distinctly between sailors and marines. Early October, Congress members such as John Adams and the colonial government pushed Congress in creating a navy, however small, to examine the possible establishment of a national navy. The Naval Committee was appointed on October 5th. So on October 13th, Congress authorized its Naval Committee to form a squadron of four converted Philadelphia merchantmen with the addition of two smaller vessels. Despite a shortage in funding, Continental Navy was formed. In 1775, the Royal Navy, numbered 268 warships, and by the end of the year, it grew to a fleet force of 468 ships. Its naval personnel increased during the war from 10,000 to 18,000. By contrast, the Continental Navy, which included the State Navy, had managed to maintain over 50 submission warships by the winter of 1776, which fell in numbers thereafter. Its manpower most likely numbered no more than a total of 30,000 sailors and marines. To the hundreds of small privateers that sailed the North Atlantic, the American naval forces found to take prizes. Still there? I'm like all alone. Bobby, are you napping?
Now you know better than that.
Uh-huh. See, you're muted. Uh-huh. No, I'm just trying to figure out, I don't know why it's got so much, friggin' the British Navy, man. It's American. I try to look, I'm pulling through there, too. This doesn't make any sense. Why it's got so much of, Britain's Marines in here. Okay. I'm going to go, this is the establishment of the modern Marine Corps. Due to harassment by the French Navy on U.S. shipping during the French Revolutionary War, Congress created the United States Navy and the Marine Corps. The Act provided naval armament of 1794, authorizing new build frigates for the war. Had specified the numbers of Marines to be recruited. Marines enlisted by the War Department as early as August of 1797 for service in these frigates. And Daniel Carmack and Lemuel Clark were commissioned as lieutenants of the Marines on May 5th, 1798. The U.S. Marine Corps was formally re-enlisted under the Act for establishing and organizing a Marine Corps. John Adams signed it. And the Marine Corps was to consist of a battalion of 500 privates led by a major and a complement of officers and NCOs. The next day, William Ward Burroughs appointed a major in the quasi-war Marines aboard the USS Constitution and other ships. Conducted raids in the waters off Hispaniola against the French and Spanish, making the first of many landings in Haiti and participating in the Battle of Puerto Rico. Oh, not Puerto Rico, my bad. Battle of Puerto Plata Harbor, already. Among the equipment Burroughs inherited was a stock of leftover blue uniforms with red trim, the basis for the modern blue dress uniform. When the Capitol moved to Washington, D.C. in June of 1800, Burroughs was appointed Lieutenant Colonel Commandant of the Marine Corps, the first de jure commandant through Samuel Nicholas. It rode horses about the new Capitol suitable for Marine barracks near the Washington Navy Yard. They chose the land between 8 and 9. Okay. We don't care where they put the bears. The Marines' most famous action of this period occurred during the First Barbary War against the Barbary pirates, when General William Eaton, the naval special agent and appointed commander-in-chief of the multinational expedition, and First Lieutenant Presley O'Bannon, led a group of 8 Marines and 300 Arabs has been immortalized in the Marine camp. Okay. Cool. In May of 1811, two officers and 47 Marines established an advanced base on the Cumberland Island, Georgia, to be used for actions against pirates in Spanish Florida. The Marine Corps' first land action in the War of 1812 was the establishment of an advanced base at Sackett Harbor in New York by 63 Marines. This gave the Navy a base on the shores of Lake Ontario and later headquartered their operations in the Great Lakes. The Marines helped to repel the two British attacks. The Marines also established another base at Erie, Pennsylvania. Marine ship detachments took part in the great frigate duels of the war. The first U.S. victories of the war, by the end of the war, Marines acquired a reputation as marksmen, especially in ship-to-ship action. Marines participated in the U.S. Army Colonial Winfield Scott Landing at York, which is now Toronto, under Commodore Joshua Barney and Captain Samuel Miller. They acted to delay the British forces marching toward Washington at the Battle of Bladensburg.
Everybody decides to call me at the same time.
The remainder of the 19th century would be a period of declining strength and introspection about the mission of the Marine Corps. The Navy's transition from sail to steam put into question the need for Marines on naval ships. Indeed, the replacement of masts and rigging with smokestacks literally left Marine marksmen without a place. They just had nowhere to go. However, the Marines would serve as a convenient resource for interventions and landings to protect U.S. lives and property in foreign countries, such as the expedition to Formosa.
You ready for a long week?
In 1867. So, question, Bobby, because I know you were a Navy SEAL, but whatever. So, like, in the Army, we have bases, and they're all over, right? And the Marines have, or the Navy has, the different shipyards, right?
Shipyards and bases.
Okay, that was what I was going to say.
I don't care why they
put their mind up. But you know what I'm saying? You guys don't spend your whole time on the ship, right?
No. I was only on ships in transit. They were my ride.
Okay. So, the same thing with the Marines. I mean, just want to look at you.
I was on plenty of ships.
Huh?
I did my time on ships.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, did you have, like, did you do any, like, at the base? I mean, all your training, of course, has to be on a ship because your guns were at. It's on the ship. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I didn't know if the Navy and the Marines, well, no, the Marines did, they were on land also. So
Bobby just hitched a ride.
Yeah, well, that's Marines, too. They just hitched a ride. Did they have many Marines on a Navy ship?
Yeah, we had a Marines, for sure.
I ordered it.
Oh, okay. Kind of like in the little mini series called The Last Ship, where it was a virus, you'll figure. It was the only naval ship that America had left, but there was a few Navy SEALs, an Army Ranger, and then a couple Marines. And it was like 14 or 15 of them, and that was it. Everybody else was Navy. So I didn't know.
We had the Marines and the Navy SEALs fight it out over ship security.
Okay. I mean,
who do you think won?
Who do I think won? Probably the Navy SEAL.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong at all. I think I know what's wrong with the Marines. In all honesty, it's mentality. It's in boot camp. And I get you got to be they're trained in it's all mentality. I get that. But they have the attitude of I can't die. I'm a Marine. And then that's how an intel thing, they have this, I don't know, trying to explain. And I'm sure Navy SEALs are completely different. You know, in like the Special Forces, Green Berets. But it's just the way, I think that's why they call the Marines failures. I don't know. Okay, here we go. Is Gitmo just mainly Marines, or is it both Marines and Navy? That stays there. You guys know.
I gotta deal with Jibs. He's more of a fucking problem than Russell.
So, the successful landing at Gitmo and the readiness of the Marines for the Spanish-American War were in contrast to the slow mobilization of the U.S. Army in the war. So in 1900, the General Board of the U.S. Navy decided to give the Marine Corps primary responsibility for the seizure and defense of advanced naval bases. So the Marine Corps formed an expeditionary battalion to be permanently based in the Caribbean, which subsequently practiced landings in 1902 in preparation for a war with Germany over the siege of Venezuela. Under Major Lejeune in early 1903, it also undertook landing exercises with the Army in May. And in November, blocked Colombian Army forces set to quash a Panamanian rebellion, an action which led to the independence. So the Marines stayed in Panama with brief intermissions as they were deployed for other actions until 1914. From 1903 to 1904, 25 Marines protected American diplomats in Abyssinia, which is modern-day Ethiopia. A small group of Marines made a show of force in Tangier to resolve the kidnapping of Ian Protasarey in the summer of 1904. Sorry if I butchered your name. The Marine Corps Advanced Base School was founded, as was the Advanced Base Force, the prototype of the Fleet Marine Force. Marine aviation began on May 22nd, 1912, when Lieutenant Alfred Hostel Cunningham reported to the Naval Aviation Camp in Annapolis, Maryland, for duty in connection with aviation. As the number of Marine aviators grew over the next few years, there was a desire to separate from naval aviation. Realized on January 6, 1914, when Lieutenant Bernard L. Smith was directed Puerto Rico to establish a Marine section of the Navy Flying School. In 1915, the Commandant George Barnett authorized the creation of an aviation company consisting of 10 officers and 40 enlisted men. And the first official Marine flying unit arrived with the commissioning of the Marine Aviation Company for duty with the Advanced Base Force in the Philadelphia Navy Yard. Marines played a major role in China, which would continue through the 1950s. Originally dispatched in 1894 to protect Americans during the first Sino-Japanese War, Marines defended Western legations in the battles of Tianjin and Peking during the Boxer Rebellion and the China Relief Expedition. The Boxers, seeking to drive all foreigners from China and eradicate foreign influences, became violent and began murdering Westerners. The remaining foreigners banded together in the Beijing and were protected by a small military force, which included 56 Marines, until reinforcements from the Eight Nations Alliance, including the Army's 9th Infantry Regiment and a battalion of Marines stationed in the Philippines, arrived in 1900s, the end of rebellion. Private Daniel Daly would earn his first Medal of Honor here, as well as 32 other Marines. Marines would be deployed from April of 1922 to November of 1923, and again in 1924, to protect Americans during the First and Second Wars. The 4th Marine Regiment would arrive in 1927 to defend Shanghai International Settlement during the Northern Expedition and the Second Sino-Japanese War after being called China Marines. The regiment would leave in 1941 for Cavite to fight in World War II. The Banana Wars. Between 1900 and 1916, the Marine Corps continued to set its record of participation in foreign expeditions, especially in the Caribbean and Central and South America, which included Panama, Cuba, Veracruz, Haiti, and Santo Domingo, and Nicaragua. And these actions would be known as the Banana Wars. And the experiences gained in counterinsurgency and guerrilla operations during this period were consolidated into small wars in 1935. Action in these places south of the United States continued through World War I. And after, for many years, many of these actions were part of the Monroe Doctrine, that is, the efforts of the United States to prevent further colonization and interference in the Western Hemisphere. Marines occasionally had to fight against their reputation as the private army of the State Department. A total of 93 Marines would die throughout the various conflicts. In December of 1909, Major Smedley Butler commanded the 3rd Battalion of Marines in Panama, the battalion which had occupied Panama since that nation's independence from Colombia in 1903. We would remain until 1914 with intermissions where it was sent to Nicaragua, Veracruz, and Haiti. And the United States occupied Cuba since the Spanish left it on January 1st, 1899, but it could not annex it as a territory. After establishing Gitmo, Naval Base, the Marines assisted in the occupation from 1899 to 1902 under Military Governor Leonard Wood. And again from 1906 to 1909 and 1912, and then from 1917 to 1922. I guess that came back and left all that. So anyway, on May 27th, 1910, Major Butler arrived in the Bluefield with 250 men to protect American interests and Juan Jose Estrada's rebellion. Marines returned to occupy Nicaragua from 1912 to 1933 in order to prevent the construction of the Nicaragua Canal without American control. Butler returned in the summer of 1912 with 350 Marines on the USS Annapolis to supplement the 100 Marines sent there to the previous month. Again, augmented by another 700 Marines under Colonel Joseph Henry Pendleton. Resistance from Luis Mena and Benjamin Zeledon was crushed that October, and the majority of the Marines had left. Having lost, the remainder occupied the nation, mostly fighting Augusto Cesar Sandino and his group until the Good Neighbor Policy and the Great Depression prompted their withdrawal in January of 1933. So a total of 130 Marines were killed in the 21 years in Nicaragua, while two earned the Medal of Honor there. Marines also returned to Mexico during the Mexican Revolution from September 5th to the 7th of September of 1903. Marines protected Americans evacuating the Yaqui River Valley in response to the Tampico affair, and then to intercept weapons being shipped to Victoriano Huerta in spite of an arms embargo. Marines were deployed to Veracruz on April 21st, 1914, to occupy it. Landing unopposed from the USS Florida and the USS Utah, Marines under Colonel Wendell Cushing Neville fought their way to the objective on the waterfront. Around midnight, additional ships arrived, bringing with them Major Butler and his battalion from Panama, and in the morning captured the Veracruz Naval Academy. And another regiment under the control of under Colonel Lejeune arrived that afternoon. And by the 24th, the entire city was secure. On May 1st, Colonel Littleton Waller arrived to the 3rd Regiment and took command of the brigade. Marines were gradually replaced with soldiers and returned to their ships until the American withdrawal on November 23rd. 56 medals of honor were awarded, including Butler's first. The Army would return to Mexico in 2 years for the Pancho Villa expedition. Marines saw action in the Dominican Republic in 1903, 1904, and 1914. And then occupied it from 1916 until 1924. After Desi de Rio area seized power from Juan Isidro. Yeah, I am not pronouncing all these Hispanic names because I'm going to butcher all of them. Rear Admirals William B. Caperton and Harry Shepard Knapp landed Marines in May of 1916 to restore order. Locals began a resistance that lasted until 1921, and the Marines were withdrawn the following year, a total of 3 having earned the Medal of Honor, and the Marines would return again in 1965. I guess the Marines loved being in that area. They just pretty much stayed there. Marines also occupied Haiti from July 28, 1915 to August 1, 1934, when Caicos overthrew the government and the possibility of an anti-American Rosalvo Bobo became likely president of Haiti. Woodrow Wilson sent the Marines in to rescue or secure American business dominance, but publicly announced peace and order. On November 17, 1915, Major Butler led a force of Marines to capture Fort Revere, a Caicos stronghold.
And then I get shot from behind.
After organized armed resistance was over, the governments from the United States began to improve infrastructure and living conditions.
Dude, I literally can't fucking move on this goddamn map. I'm getting shot.
What happens? I'm in a brain fart. My bad, guys. President Herbert Hoover began to withdraw in 1932. The last Marines departed on August 15, 1934. In the 19-year occupation, 8 Marines will earn a Medal of Honor, including the second award to Gunnery Sergeant Dan Daly, and Major Butler, the only Marines to be awarded, to be twice awarded. And the latter would express his disapproval of the occupation and gunboat diplomacy in the book he wrote, War is a Racket. And then the Marines would go back to Haiti in 1994 and 2010. You know, it's kind of ironic how the Marines spent all of those decades down there, not one peep.
I mean, he said he wasn't really.
Not one freaking peep from anybody until we have a 20-year war over there in the Middle East. And it's like, you know. Whatever. Marine aviators began to experiment with air ground tactics during the Banana Wars, making the support of their fellow Marines on the ground of their primary mission. And it was in Haiti that Marines began to develop a tactic of dive bombing. And in Nicaragua, where they began to perfect it. While other nations and services had tried variations of this technique, Marine aviators were the first to embrace it and make it part of their tactical doctrine. Cunningham had noted in 1920 that the only excuse for aviation in any service is its usefulness in assisting troops on the ground to successfully carry out their mission. On May 3, 1925, the Marine Corps officially and the Navy's Aeronautical Organization, the Navy's Bureau of Aeronautics, authorized 3 fighter squadrons. And also in the 20s, Marine squadrons began qualifying on board aircraft carriers. So in World War One, we did go back and forth. Now we're back to World War One. Marines served limited in the United States entry into the conflict. Unlike the majority of Allied armies, the Marine Corps had a deep pool of officers and not and NCOs with battle experience. And experienced a smaller growth, but they were not trained for the intense and highly technical conflict. They participated in small ways throughout 1918. The famous action of the war would come that summer as the German spring offensive neared its end. And from June 1st to the 26th, Marines fought their celebrated Battle of Belleau Wood. Then the largest in the history of the Corps, but very minor given the oversight of the battle, okay? Creating a reputation in modern history, rallying under the battle cries of retreat. Hell, we just got here. Oh, that actually is true. I did not know that. If you saw, Bobby, did you ever watch the movie Battle Los Angeles about the aliens and attack?
Yeah.
You know that line where they say, retreat hell, we just got here, or retreat hell? I didn't know that was actually real. You know, I didn't know if that was more Hollywood. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know
not
Hollywood
right. Right.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Right.
And that goes the same for how they got Hua and that expression in the Oorah, and I see the Marines, Oorah, Army, Oorah. It was actually meant a general had gone out of the most war website. Don't quote them. He thought they said, who us? And the general thought he said, Oorah or Oorah. And that's how that came about. But I don't
right.
know if that was like Normandy or, you know, I don't know which one it was. But that's how those two expressions came about. But seriously, I didn't realize that expression, retreat hell, he just got here, was actually true. And then, where's it at? And the other expression, come on, you sons of bitches, you want to live forever. And that's what Gunny Sergeant Dan Daly had said, and I guess that's another big thing, expression they still use. Now, are all Marines devil dogs, or is that like the Army, 101st Airborne?
Bro,
I think it's a different group or whatever.
It doesn't really go into it. Okay. Well, kind of like, you know, every branch has their own thing. Like, but like the Army, everyone's a ground pounder.
Right.
Now, if you're in the 101st Airborne, you're, you know, what the hell is our thing? Crap, I'm having a brain fart right now. Aerosol? And that's our thing, we go into aerosol, but I didn't know if all men were devil dogs. So, actually, that nickname came from the Germans. The Marines' fierceness and toughness earned them the respect of the Germans, to rating them from stormtrooper quality. Film Marines and American media reported that Germans had nicknamed them
the IMF
or Delta.
So it's all Marines. She apparently everywhere. She was constantly.
And it sucks.
Making cheesecakes for her friends.
And it's a bulldog.
World class.
Oh, shit.
You know when you're back in.
Yes, that's it. So, no, it is. It's actually all Marines. The French government renamed the force to Bois de la Brigade de Marine, Wood of the Marines, and decorated both the 56th Regiment to deploy against Guerrero 3 times. And this earned them the privilege to wear the, yeah, I didn't read that wordy, that French word. which Franklin D. Roosevelt, then Secretary of the Navy, authorized them to henceforth wear on the left shoulder of their dress and service uniform. Marine aviation also saw exponential growth as the first aeronautic company which deployed to the Azores to hunt U-boats in January of 1918. It goes more into how they got their patches and all that stuff. A new amphibious mission. This site goes over different ships over and over again, and I'm like,
you can open the door.
A new amphibious mission. Between the World Wars, the Marine Corps was headed by Major General John Angel June, another popular commandant. The Marine Corps was searching for an expanded mission after World War I. And it was used in France as a junior version of the Army. And Marines realized it was a dead end. In the early 20th century, they had acquired the new mission of for Central American countries, partly a company occupied by the U.S. And that mission became another dead end. When the nation adopted a good neighbor policy toward Latin America and renounced further invasion, the Corps needed a new mission, one distinct from the Army, and it found one. It will be a fast-shafting, light infantry fighting force carried rapidly far-off locations by the Navy. Its special role was amphibious landing on the enemy-held island. But it took years to figure out how to do that. The Mahanian notion of a decisive fleet battle required forward bases for the Navy close to the enemy. After the Spanish-American War, the Marines gained the mission of occupying, defeating, or defending those forward bases. And they began a training program on the Libro Island in Puerto Rico. The emphasis was on the defending of the forward base against enemy attacks. And they would utilize the Turks, who in 1915 inflicted 250,000 casualties to the British, Australian, and New Zealand invaders of Gallipoli, forcing their withdrawal. As early as 1900, the Navy General Board considered building advanced bases for naval operations in the Pacific area. And the Marine Corps was given this mission in 1920. But the challenge was to avoid another disaster, like Gallipoli. The conceptual breakthrough came in 1921 when Major Pete Ellis wrote Advanced Base Operations and Microdrone, a secret 30,000 word. Damn, 30,000 words? Oh, my God. Hope you used to go slow. proved inspirational to Marine Chiefs, strategists, and highly effective. To win a war in the Pacific, the Navy would have to fight its way from south to the mouth of the ocean controlled by the Japanese, including Marshall, Caroline, and Marianas, and right. By Lucas Island Group. If the Navy could land Marines to see selected islands, they could become a forward base. Ellis argued that with an enemy prepared to defend the beaches is just dependent on high-speed movement of waves of assault craft, covered by heavy naval gunfire and attacks from air. He predicted that the decision would take place on the beach itself, so the assault team could use not just infantry but also machine gun units, light artillery, light tanks, and combat engineers to defeat these obstacles. They got 5 times real fast. Assuming the enemy had its own artillery and naval craft, it would have to be specially built to protect the naval force. The failure at Gallipoli became because the Turks could easily reinforce their specific landing site, and the Japanese would be unable to reinforce on the island under attack. So that's when they created, I think it goes funky.
They take a huge chunk of our bottom line.
All
of our pocket and goes to them.
So there's things that float. I think it's a fall right now. You know what I'm talking about? Or those other ones that had wheels on. And I could not think of what life would be with them all.
What's that?
The things that the Marines use, the boat. Because I'm drawing a blank and I can't describe it to you. The amphibious vehicle. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What do they call it?
I don't know.
You're the Navy, you're supposed to know. Hold on. Amphibious assault vehicle. That's the one. That was a nice the AAV-7 was once called the LBCP-7. By the Marine Corps and other users, but the goal was to be extracted. Not that one, but the other one. The one that's like a boat, but it's not a boat. The body of Mr. Smith, I'm talking about. In the name,
I know what you're talking about. I just don't remember the name of them.
I know. And I don't like them.
Well, don't laugh at me then, bitch.
Huh?
Don't laugh at me then, bitch.
You're a bitch. No, I'm looking. What was it called? Oh, wow. I need to pull amphibious vehicles because of security problems. Of safety reasons. Oh, and I'm not signing a stupid... Well, fine. But everybody, but there's the one I want to call. Well, I cannot think of what it's called.
Yeah, of course I'm going to get fucking shot. You've got nowhere to go.
It's kind of like, what are the boats called? The Zodiac. It's like a Zodiac, but it's a bigger. You know what I'm talking about?
U-boat?
The Zodiac?
U-boat?
It was almost like it had the you know what a Zodiac, how it's at the middle of it, it's the heart, and then it's like a, almost like a wrap, but it's inside of a wrap. Not a wrap. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I have a brain fart.
It's a Zodiacs.
But they're big, but they have bigger ones. Okay. No,
that's the only thing I can think of. I used to know all the small boats throughout every branch, but my mind draws a blank right now.
Jack, see, I'm telling you, it's not for you to hate it, because I can see it in my head what it is.
Yeah.
But I can't think of it. Anybody knows what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Please let me know. But I didn't know they had them back then. That's what I'm saying. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, they've been around for years.
But the one that's on the track, that's the amphibious The amphibious ones, I would think it was like on, in Normandy and all that, where they came up on and they had all the equipment and troops on. But no, that's not what I was thinking. But never mind. I'll think of it later after we're done. In World War II, the Marines played a central role in the Pacific War, and they were in pretty much every significant battle. So in the Battle of the Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Saipan, Guam, Iwo Jima, and Okinawa, the Marines were there. And then the secrecy offered or afforded their communications via the now infamous Navajo post office. I thought they were in the Army. They were in the Marines?
What?
Huh. The Code Talkers. I didn't know that they were Marines. I thought they were Army.
No, they were Marines.
Oh, okay. Did the last Code Talker just pass away recently?
Yeah.
Or one of them? Yeah. During the Battle of Iwo Jima, photographer Joe Rosenthal took the famous the rising of the flag of Iwo Jima of five Marines and Navy Corpsmen. Like I said, blah blah blah. And it's just you keep repeating this shit. It's irritating. So between World War II and Korea, despite Secretary Forrestal's predictions, the Corps faced an immediate institutional crisis following the war. The Army brass, pushing for a strengthened and reorganized defense establishment, also attempted to fold the Marine mission and assets into the Navy and Army. Drawing on hastily assembled congressional support, the Marine Corps rebuffed such efforts to legislatively. They didn't want to be dismantled. Resulting in statutory protection of the Marine Corps in the National Security Act of 1947. Despite the introspective crisis, Marines also suffered from major post-war cutbacks and drawdowns inside. Maybe that's why they're so angry. Because they were, they want to be, downsized. For example, aviation fell from 116,000 and 103 squadrons to 14,000 personnel. They cut that many people out of the aviation department of the Marines. Wow. The Secretary of Defense, Lewis A. Johnson, in particular, singled the Navy and Marine Corps out for budget cuts. A strong believer in unification and the idea that the United States monopoly on the common bomb was adequate protection against any and all external threats. Yeah, whatever, dude. He began a campaign to strip away much of America's military power. See, I didn't know it was done once before. And then Obama did it, and Biden's doing it. Shortly after his appointment, Johnson had a conversation with Admiral Richard Connolly, giving a revealing look at his attitude towards the Navy and the Marine Corps and any need for non-nuclear forces. Wow. Admiral, the Navy is on its way out. There's no reason for having a Navy and a Marine Corps. General Bradley tells me amphibious operations are a thing of the past. We'll never have any more amphibious operations. That does away with the Marine Corps. And the Air Force can do anything the Navy could do. So that does away with the Navy. I am sorry, I cackle at that. The Air Force can't do shit. I'm sorry. Only their pilots. With the fire jets, and that's about it. However, the Marines were included in the Women's Armed Services Integration Act in 1948, which gave women permanent status in the regular and reserve forces of the Marines. Harry Truman had a well-known dislike of the Marines. I don't know that. Dating back to his service in World War I. And would say in anger in August of 1950, the Marine Corps is the Navy's police force, and as long as I am president, that is what it will remain. Wow, he was a dick. They have a propaganda machine that is almost equal to Stalin. Johnson exploited this new to reduce or eliminate the Marine Corps budget request. Johnson attempted to eliminate the Marine Corps aviation entirely by transferring their air assets to the Navy and Air Force. And again, proposed to progressively eliminate the Marine Corps altogether in a series of budget cutbacks and decommissioning of forces. Johnson ordered the Commandant as far from attending the Joint Chiefs of Staff meetings in his role as Chief of Service, including meetings involving Marine readiness for deployment. They deleted him from the official role of Chief of Service Branches, authorized as a driver in a limousine. Wow. For whom a special gun salute was prescribed on ceremonial occasions. Wow. They really had it out for the Marines. No wonder they're bitter and angry. I get it. When you think about it, I mean, I didn't realize that there was so much contempt for Hallie. I mean, that's retarded.
Yep.
Wow. Now I see it. I just don't see why the Coast Guard is so bitter. But maybe it's because we call them puddle jumpers. I don't know.
They're puddle pirates.
Huh? Puddle pirates? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I didn't realize that they worked that hard to get rid of the Marines and then the Navy as well. And then, you know, and to say that we're never going to have amphibious anything ever again is kind of stupid. Because that's why they use those Zodiacs when they're on naval ships and they have to send... So, you know, a squad with an 8 or 12 or whatever, you know, you're not going to send this big-ass friggin' ship to be on shore. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna
send right.
In the back door. And, I mean, I learned a lot, actually, when I watched, believe it or not, I know it's stupid, but in The Last Ship, yes, I know it's a TV series. It was after a book that was made in the 80s. But it shows what the Navy and the Marines did together and how they used the Zodiac commissions and just sat together and all that crap. But, I mean, there was no war going on. There was, when you have to do recon and all that shit, you know. But anywho, so after Johnson announced the cancellation of the USS United States was under construction and the Navy spoke to participate in strategic nuclear air operations, without consulting the Department of the Navy nor Congress, Secretary of the Navy John Sullivan abruptly resigned, beginning the revolt of the Admiral. Ha! They should have. In June of 1949, the House Committee on Armed Services launched an investigation into charges of malfeasance in the office against Secretary Johnson. While ultimately cleared of any wrongdoing, the congressional review weakened Johnson's power with the military and President Truman, and a few subsequent cuts were made. After his severe cutback resulted in a military two-week reform effectively in the initial days of the Korean War. Johnson resigned on September 19, 1950. The place was George Marshall. Ironically, the Marines, as part of an amphibious corps with the U.S. Army 7th Division, to deploy, made an amphibious operation at Incheon at the opening of the war. See? You never know when you're going to need your amphibious vehicle. Or, you know, shortly after, in 1962, Douglas Mansfield appointed the Commandant an equal voice with the Joint Chiefs of Staff on matters relating to the Marines, and established the structure of three divisions and air wings that remains today. This allowed the Corps to permanently maintain a division and air wing in the Far East and participate in various small wars in Southeast Asia and Kashan, Taiwan, and Laos, Thailand, and Vietnam, and a small guard force was sent to Jerusalem to protect the United States Consul in General in 1948. Marines would take a large role in the initial days of occupation of Japan, beginning with the 4th Marine Division, landing in Kanagawa in 1945. Just 13 days after Emperor Hiroshio announced surrender, it was soon replaced by the 8th United States Army. In 1946, about 50,000 Marines would take part in post-war occupation of North China from 45 to 47, and would reappear in 48 and in 49. The 3rd Amphibious Corps would control major infrastructure points and repatriate Japanese and Soviet troops, as well as evacuate Americans when the Communist Party of China began to win the Chinese Civil War. Despite cuts in number, Marine aviation did progress in technology. Propeller aircraft were gradually phased out as jet aircraft improved, and helicopters were developed for use in amphibious operations. The 1st Marine Jet Squadron came in November of 1947 when VMS 122, the FH Phantom, so they had all these cool new little toys. General Geiger had observed the atomic bomb test at Bikini Atoll the year earlier and instantly recognized that atomic bombs could render amphibious landing difficult because of the dense concentrations of crude material at the beachhead. The Hagaboom Board recommended the Marine Corps develop transport helicopters in order to allow more diffuse attack on enemy shores, which resulted in the HMX-1 and the acquisition of Sikorsky HO-3S-1 and the other helicopters. Refining the concept for several years, Marines would use the term vertical envelopment instead of air mobility or air assault. Air assault is a harm for airborne. So the Korean War saw hastily formed 1st Divisional Marine Brigade hold the line at the Battle of Busan perimeter for Marine helicopters combat debut. To execute a flanking maneuver, General Douglas MacArthur called on Marine air and ground forces to make an amphibious landing at the Battle of Incheon. Successful landing resulted in the collapse of North Korean lines and the pursuit of North Korean forces with the new year, the Yashu River, until the entrance of the People's Republic of China into the war. Chinese troops surrounded, surprised, and overwhelmed the overextended and outnumbered U.S. forces. However, unlike the 8th Army, which retreated in disarray, the 1st Marine Division, while attached to the Army, regrouped and inflicted heavy casualties during the fighting was wrought to the coast. Now known as the Battle of Poshin Reservoir, it entered Marine lore as an example of the toughness.
You still there, Kim? Hello? Kim. You're muted or something. There you are.
I don't know what happened. This happened earlier when I was talking to my bank.
Okay, where did you stop? You're in the Korean War?
Yeah, I think that's the last I heard.
Here again. Oh, we're having technical difficulty. I feel like we're going to hang up.
I think I lost you again.
Back yet?
Yeah, you there. You're there.
Okay. I don't know what happened. Same thing happened to me earlier today when I called my bank. I could hear her, but she couldn't hear me. So did you get anything about the Korean War?
No.
Okay. Fuckers. Okay. So the Korean War... So a hastily formed 1st Provisional Marine Brigade holding at the line of the Battle of Pusan perimeter, and that's where the Marines brought in their cool new toys, their helicopters, and I'm not pronouncing them again because I butchered the names of them, so they can suck it. To execute a flanking maneuver, General Douglas MacArthur called on Marine air and ground forces to make an amphibious landing at the Battle of Inchon. So that battle caused the collapse of the North Korean lines and the pursuit of North Korean forces near the Yatu River. And then that was when the People's Republic of China, they said, here we are. And the Chinese troops surrounded, surprised, and overwhelmed the Army troops, 8th Army, and the Marines came in, and that's where they came, you know, come up with all the bullshit things. So, well, you know what I'm saying, retreat, hell, we just got here, same thing. So the Korean War saw the Marine Corps rebound from they had 75,000 at the start, and it dropped. There used to be 261,000 Marines. Most of them were reservists, and then they dropped down to a dismal 75,000. But 4,200 Marines were killed and 23,000 were wounded during the war, and 42 were awarded a Medal of Honor. So, and then it goes, ow, my damn, my knee. It goes on to repeat the same shit. In between the times of...
The Suez Canal, and you talk about how the people that really look down there, I don't know why. Marines over there. So the Marines also played an important role in Vietnam. Da Nang and Cai Son, and the Marines adapted, operated the northern regions of South Vietnam. Well, conquered the war against the Vietnam.
On the main road.
I guess they just repeat themselves repeatedly.
Yeah, it's behind
you. So during the Gulf War,
right.
They were
in that field.
The Persian Gulf
by that
War.
Southwest 220.
Like I said, the 90, I did not know the Marines had 92,000 troops.
Okay.
Right.
At that corner of that crossroads.
Yeah, apparently all of them were over there in Iraq. But a total of 24 Marines were killed in action. And, in 92 were wounded during the Gulf War. Then they were in the Bosnian War.
So, get picked off.
Then they go back into Afghanistan. In the different battles and different wars they were in. Operation Iraqi Freedom. And then I get the Presidential Unification. Yeah.
You don't like the PAR?
But, and that's it for the Marines. I'm sorry, it got so jacked up there at the end because technical difficulties.
145.
I found what you're talking
here.
About, Bobby, being an amphibious assault vehicle. Nope, not that one. I guess not.
It's over here. What? Yeah.
You still there?
Well, I had guys
yeah,
down
here.
That road. Over there? Cool.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay. I do it again.
Where you at? Hey there.
You there?
You are now live.
I am now live. I don't know why the freaking hell my damn thing keeps disappearing. I'm talking, and all of a sudden, quiet. No, I thought I found the amphibious. I was all there was on the marine.
Yeah,
I
heard you saying that, and then you disappeared.
It just okay. I think I found it. Yes, here it is. It's okay. Let me see if I can get what it's called, because this is what I'm talking about. It looks like a giant airboat. With a floaty tube underneath it. And I cannot think of what the fuck it's called. It just says, new Marine Corps operating concept emphasizes, you know what, hold on a second. I'm going to take a picture of it and send it to the staff room. And you just tell me what it's called.
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
I ain't going nowhere.
No, I said, damn it.
I knew I
wasn't going to post it. He's going to
get that
air
or something.
Oh, that's a
hydrofoil. Okay. No. What's that called?
It's upside down, but it's a hydrofoil.
A what?
A hydrofoil.
Oh, okay. That's what I was talking about. I was trying to think. I couldn't think of Zodiac, but you see, I call it just a big balloon underneath it.
Yeah.
When did
like,
those
it,
come
it,
about?
Like, they were later on. I mean, I even think they were after my time. So they're fairly new. But they're a cross between an airboat and a hydrofoil.
Yeah, okay, so I couldn't think of, that's why I said airboat, but no, it's got the balloon, under, I call it a balloon, or a raft underneath it.
Right.
But yeah, that's what I was talking about, not the actual amphibious vehicle that's got the track, and it could actually be like a little boat and all that cool shit. Gotcha. Okay. But, that's all. On the Marines. I gotta find a new place to find the information because it just seems like it just repeats the same shit. As you go down, you know what I'm saying? It just repeats it again.
Right.
And I have to go through it and it's like, oh, whatever. Who we got? We did the Army, we did the Navy, the Marines. Did we do the Air Force? No.
I don't think we did. No.
No. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna look something up real quick because oh, the Air Force, the Chair Force. Let's see. Okay, let me see. History of the Air Force. Wow. They separated in 1947 to their own. So I just try to look and see if there's a better Wikipedia. Wikipedia sucks. I mean, that's where I've been getting some of it, but it just seems like they, yeah, I'm going to have to use a different. Yeah, and this is like read time, 6 minutes. Dude, I got 2 hours to kill. I need something more than 6 minutes. I guess that's all they're giving the Air Force is 6 minutes.
Yeah, because the only thing they could talk about is their dining halls.
No shit. You know what's funny? There's, I know some of those jokes and they're kind of bad. But then again, this is what we say to each other.
All the branches.
Air Force. But you know what? The Air Force gets butt hurt bad. I'm sorry.
Because they remind me of children or, you know, adult children in their mama's basements.
You know, actually what it is, the Air Force is ROTC.
Rotsy Nazis.
But seriously, I mean, they call them the chair force. We know that. It's like, don't get me wrong. They're, you know, the fighter pilots, they got a cool job. That's an awesome job, okay? Don't get me wrong. That's cool. Same thing with the Navy. Especially the older Navy, you know, like in the movie Battleship, where they had all the Army veterans, those, like, they just look badass. It's the way they just carry themselves. And it hasn't been until recent where they get, you guys get a bad rap. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just all there is to it. But every branch has their own, you know, the gunners and whoever gets to enjoy the job of, on the Navy ships to blow shit up or to fire those guns. But not to ask a stupid question. On all the ships, right? Why do they have those? I know they're not machine guns. Okay, don't shoot me. What can they honestly shoot down?
Are you talking about the white things that look like R2-D2?
No. Okay, hold on, let me look up. Not the turrets. Not the big, you know, the 400-pound rounds. Hold on a second. Guns. Oh, no, I'm just going to type it up. On Battleship. Okay. Because in every movie, like in, the damn movie there with Pearl Harbor. You know how they were talking about how they show them, they grab them, and they look like a 50 cal. Okay. You know what I'm talking about? They're on the side.
Well, that was,
and the guy.
I think they're either 50 cals or some battleships have 4-inch mags, I believe they call them.
Okay. Now, in all honesty, what the hell do they shoot down?
They can shoot a plane down.
Really? I mean,
yeah.
You think about it. As fast as they're going, I mean, I guess you'd have to start in front of them, but if you think about it, it's like taking a freaking an AR-15 trying to shoot at a helicopter. That's what I'm talking about.
Right, but believe it or not, I forget what size rounds they shoot, but they're not a small round.
Oh, okay. I don't know, it just seems weird. All of the different guns. I mean, like, I know for the big turrets and all those big ass things, which those are pretty badass. But yeah. I'm just trying to think of what they're called, though. But oh yeah, they're showing them. Those are some big rounds. But that's the historic quad 40. 40-inch rounds. Yeah, those fuckers. I'm going to tell you something. On the USS Alabama, you go in there, and I don't know if you've ever been. You could go down in the bottom of the ship and stand next to all the rounds. Some of the rounds are 5 foot tall, 6 foot tall, or long. How much do, I mean, oh, my computer's about to crap the bed. What figure? My battery's dying. You notice how everybody leaves and nobody's on? That's because the Marines are boring and nobody really cares. I'm just kidding.
My computer's about to shit the bed, so I gotta unplug it. I'm gonna plug it up, and it can't use the stuff. So totally non-related to the yesterday. Being pre-diabetic. You guys are putting any medication, which I don't want to be. And she says she's cured by diet. And they honestly don't think I have sugar yet. She thinks I just have an intolerance between cold wheat, barley, and rye, which is good for me. Because when you're allergic to it, it's just more damage for your body than just getting, you know what I'm saying, getting bloated and stuff like that. Damn it! It
did
it again.
What?
All right. It disappeared again, didn't I?
No. Did you
hear me?
Because I'm far away. Yeah.
No, that's because my damn I don't have headphones on right now, and my face I'm holding the phone, and my thing went back on to my headphones, which I.
Now you sound like you left. Well, I take it that this is the end of our show tonight. I hope everybody enjoyed. Our show. God bless America. God bless our children, first responders, veterans, military, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody. Again, thank you for tuning in.